Share makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
President Trump nominates the acting defense secretary to the top Pentagon post. USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky explains.
We are hearing now from the new Secretary of Defense, Patrick Shanahan.
The national defense strategy obviously is a high priority.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders tweeting, Acting Secretary Shanahan has proven over the last several months that he is beyond qualified to lead the Department of Defense, and he will continue to do an excellent job. Reporters asking Shanahan about the biggest challenge of running the Pentagon.
The biggest challenge is balancing it all. I'd say, you know, for me, it's about practicing selectful neglect so that we can stay focused on the future.
Laura Trump, 2020 Trump campaign senior advisor and the president's daughter-in-law, reacts to the news that her brother-in-law, Donald Trump Jr., is again being asked to testify before the Senate.
This is over. The Mueller report is complete. Whatever they think they're going to do is not going to change that. It's not going to make Hillary Clinton the president of the United States. This is harassment of our family, harassment of the president. And it's a shame because the American people send these folks in Congress to Washington, D.C. to make great changes in our country and to do things that they want to see happen. They're doing nothing. What is this doing for our country? It's nonsense. They need to focus on things Americans care about. Nobody cares about this. It's over. It's dead.
Trump was speaking there on Fox News. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rocklin. I have been and always will be a fan of Monty Python. Monty Python's Flying Circus is something that I encountered first at the tender age of 9 years old, and my interest and fascination with that seminal comedy group has been growing ever since. I am not alone. There are millions of fans worldwide who are similarly obsessed, continue to be to this day, and will be well into the future. And one of the great documenters of Monty Python history is David Morgan. We're very pleased to be speaking with him now. Monty Python, The Complete Oral History, Revised and Updated Edition is the book. David Morgan, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So this is the 50th anniversary this year of Monty Python, them getting together and beginning this amazing comedic collaboration. How did it all come together? How did this amazing group of creative guys get joined at the hip and move forward as they have?
Yeah, well, most of them had come from Cambridge and Oxford universities, where they had performed in comedy reviews. And upon graduation, rather than pursue careers in law or medicine, they were hired by the BBC to write comedy for radio and TV. So they all worked with each other in various groupings on TV shows during the 1960s for people like David Frost. And the 60s was a revolutionary time in pop culture, especially in England, not just in TV, but also music, films, fashion. And just as the Beatles were revolutionary in the area of music, the Pythons were revolutionary in comedy because they broke so many standards of television comedy of the day. It was in 1969 that the BBC offered them the opportunity to write and perform in their own show. BBC gave them a tremendous amount of freedom, and the Pythons took it, and they used it. And they were liberating in the way that they created these television shows because they didn't adhere to the standards of TV comedy or sketch comedy. For example, they didn't bother with punchlines if they didn't feel they needed one. Instead, they would introduce a comic concept, and then they would drop it and move on to the next one, then the next one, then the next one, and create this sort of stream of consciousness that was connected with the surreal animated cartoon that Terry Gilliam did. So their shows were never about narrative or characters. They were instead just about these concepts of sometimes silly, sometimes intellectually fraught comic ideas that was just thrown at the audience. It was liberating for them. It was liberating for the audience because it wasn't tied down to any preconceived notions of what a TV comedy should be.
As you say, it was very different from everything that had come before, which was much more structured. There was a sketch, there was a punchline, moving on to the next sketch. They were separated from each other. In a way, you could compare it to what the Beatles did with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band in not having any track divisions on their record. And it wasn't far removed in a time sense from that. It could have remained a sort of figment of the late 1960s psychedelic era, if you think about the stream of consciousness aspect which you describe, but it really blossomed from there as they developed their movies. Tell us about that and how they really gained not just an audience in Britain, but an audience around the world.
Yeah, their TV shows did migrate from Britain to the U.S. when PBS started airing them in 1974. It was about that time when they did their first major film, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. So, of course, there was a ready, eager audience for it in America by the time the film premiered. And then a few years later, they followed up with Life of Brian, which was even more ambitious in terms of storytelling and the subject matter that they covered. They were constantly breaking the rules of film, even. If you watch Holy Grail, it's clearly, obviously, self-consciously a movie. They make fun of the fact that they are a movie. But they're also willing to do things like not bother to hire horses. Instead, just have guys running around pretending to ride horses and have their aides plop coconuts together. And when you think, you know, how can that work? Well, it does. They make it work somehow. It's just remarkably silly.
Mm-hmm. We're We're speaking with David Morgan. He is the author of Monty Python Speaks, The Complete Oral History, Revised and Updated Edition. How did you get into the position to be able to have all these wonderful conversations with these amazingly talented folks?
Well, I've started interviewing one Python or another beginning in the mid-80s. I was on the sets of many Terry Gilliam films, for example. And I was really interested in doing a behind-the-scenes look not only at how their shows and movies and records were produced, but also how these six very smart but very temperamentally different people were able to work so well together to create a sort of single comic sensibility that you recognize as Pythonic and yet is kind of different from what any of them do in their solo work. Like John Cleese is well known for Fawlty Towers, which is one of the great situation comedies, but that's not quite like what he's contributed to Python. And Terry Gilliam's movies are very particular to Terry Gilliam, but they're not necessarily Pythonic. There is just something unique to the collaboration that they brought that in part was because each of them made the others laugh more than anybody else, and so they found a great freedom to just take ideas to the nth degree that they couldn't do with under normal circumstances.
A fascinating combination of comedic minds, really, and obviously the whole is not the sum of the parts. They really did create something special when they were together. Again, we've been speaking with David Morgan. He is the author of Monty Python Speaks, The Complete Oral History. It's got a new foreword by John Oliver. Please pick it up. David, thank you so much for spending the time with us today.
Thank you very much.
Is this the right one for an argument?
I've told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When?
Just now.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Didn't.
I did.
Didn't.
I'm telling you, I did.
You did not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this a 5-minute argument or the full half hour?
It's not pain, and it's passed on. This parrot is no more. Could I have egg, bacon, spam and sausage without the spam?
Yeah.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rocklin.
Billions and billions and
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 billions and billions and billions and
billions and billions and
billions and
billions and
billions
and billions and
billions and
billions
and billions
and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and
billions. Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
Mike Hewitt here.
We just witnessed yet another U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. This one, an attempted roasting of Attorney General Barr. Democratic presidential candidates presenting their caustic, nasty side, obviously showboating for fundraising and for extreme left primary votes. I'm not being partisan. I'm sharing an observation. I get it. We have an adversarial political system, but we used to have decorum, respect even in disagreement. Now we're witnessing something very different, dangerous, both politically and culturally. If we want our representatives to do our bidding, to represent us, to actually get something done like a modern infrastructure, a modern immigration system, and so much more, we must reel them in. Resisting everything is to resist even the things we want and need. That's not how we build the future. Like the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rocklin. Today we're speaking with Sean McFate. He is the author of Deep Black, also previously the author of Shadow War. Sean McFate, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me on.
No problem. So I'm going to take a stab at this, and forgive me if I completely mess it up, but I'm going to read here from some of the press material in my trailer announcer voice. Okay, so stand by. After a mission goes horribly wrong in Ukraine, Tom Locke is on the run from his former employer, Apollo Outcomes, a private military corporation led by the treacherous Brad Winters. So that sort of gives you the sense of where you're going. Sean McFate, thank you so much for being here. I'm wondering if, given your topic, President Trump should probably be reading your book, because, as I understand it, he's considering handing the war in Afghanistan over to private military contractors, and I want to make sure that Apollo Outcomes is not that group. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I would love it if you read this book. You know, right now there's an idea being floated around Washington, D.C., floated by Eric Prince, who is the founder of Blackwater, and Steve Bannon, that we should replace the U.S. forces in Afghanistan with private contractors or mercenaries. And he's saying this would be cheaper. And as a former, you know, paratrooper and a former private military contractor myself, I cannot think of a worse solution for Afghanistan or for this country.
You know, I from the perspective of a layperson, I absolutely agree with you. But my position is uninformed in terms of experience. Given your experience as a paratrooper, why do you think that's a bad idea?
Well, there's a couple reasons. So, you know, just some background. I was a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne Division, and then I got out and became a private military contractor, some would say a mercenary, in Africa, mostly working U.S. government contracts, doing things the CIA and Special Forces really should be doing. And that's how I came to write the Tom Locke novel series, is I wanted to find a way to discuss that but not get sued to death. So I used fiction. And what I saw on the ground is this. Yeah, what I saw on the ground is this, is that there are good and bad mercenaries. But one of the things that you hear with, you know, with guys like Eric Prince, he's a latter, by the way, there's no safety or control mechanisms. He's giving this blue sky, we're gonna raise this 25,000 strong or something mercenary army. There's no quality control. And what he's suggesting is that for every U.S. Army sergeant, there's gonna be a contractor sergeant. But what he's not telling you is that they're gonna come from places where military labor is cheap, like Serbia or the Philippines or Guatemala. And those are not the same quality, or they have the same restraint as American troops. And yet they're going to be fighting under an American flag.
And yet, if you look at some of the places like Serbia and Guatemala, you wouldn't necessarily want the same sorts of military outcomes as have happened in some of those places as what we are trying to achieve in Afghanistan, I'm assuming.
That's right. I mean, they could massacre a whole village. I mean, not because they wanted to, but things escalate. And then the U.S. would have to go in and take the blame for that internationally. Or we have to go in and send in the 82nd Airborne Division to rescue the situation, which is even more costly. You know, so your listeners remember Nisour Square? 10 years ago, a group of Blackwater squad killed several innocent Iraqis at a traffic circle in Baghdad.
Right.
And nothing happened to them. There's no accountability. Well, I think Eric Prince's plan for Afghanistan is Nisour Square times 100. And nobody wants that. Yet this idea is being taken seriously by Donald Trump.
Interesting. We're speaking with Sean McFate. He is the author of Deep Black. And it really seems like you're – I understand the legal reasons for you approaching it this way, but it really seems like a fascinating and engaging way of capturing attention about a really fundamentally important issue. And, of course, it transcends just the issues of private contractors. I mean, you can essentially open up your laptop, go on your favorite news sites, and select with – and have a lot to select from – about what your next book or your next chapter or whatever it happens to be is going to be about. There's no dearth of material in the headlines, is there?
No, I mean, you know, this novel series, it's sort of like, you know, Brad Thor or Tom Clancy. It's a fun read. It's a great beach read, a good, you know, you're in the airport waiting to get in the plane read. But it's based on a lot of nonfiction. It's not just a work of imagination. And it pulls back the curtain on the secret world of mercenaries, which is expanding under our feet right now. People don't realize this, but in the last couple of years, mercenaries are coming back. I mean, oil companies hire them. Other countries like Nigeria and the Emirates hire them. They're all over the Middle East right now. They're coming back as a way of war. And this is a great way to explain to people what that secret world really looks like. If you follow Tom Locke, you'll meet these mercenaries. And these are all based on actual characters, and in some cases a couple composite characters. But it's an accurate depiction of modern warfare today, because it also talks about, you know, SEALs and the CIA and CUD special forces out of Iran and you know, ISIS terrorists as well. A lot of this is based on reality. It's not just based on things I'm picking out of my head.
Now, I'm looking, Sean, and I hope you won't be offended. Certainly, Derek Blair is the name that I use on the air. It doesn't happen to be my real name. But Sean McFate as a name is almost incredible, so incredibly well-suited to the form of fiction that you are writing. I thought at first that couldn't be his real name, but then I'm reviewing your background here. You're a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council. You're a professor of strategy at the National Defense University, and you wouldn't fake it for all those folks. How are you almost compelled as someone named Sean McFate to write thriller novels?
No, it is my real name, believe
wow.
it or not.
Great.
I never thought about it until I started writing thriller novels, and people are like, oh, my goodness, this must be made up, or a stage name and stuff like that. No, it's my given name, curiously. I guess maybe it's meant to be that to end up writing thriller novels.
Well, fantastic, and this is a great one. I'm glad you've chosen this focus, and hopefully we can get a copy to the president, because as he's making this decision, I think it's pretty critical, and we don't have a super great record with private contractors. But read the intrigue that is woven through Deep Black by Sean McFate, a Tom Locke novel. Sean, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks. I really appreciate
All
it.
All the best. Bye-bye. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rockland.
Oh, we are the boys in chorus. We hope you like our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
American investors lost $3.7 trillion of net worth in the fourth quarter of 2018. When your portfolio's value decreases right before or early in your retirement, it can have a crippling effect. It's called sequence of returns risk, and it's a risk you simply cannot afford. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we're on a mission to help hardworking Americans transform their hard-earned savings into steady, predictable retirement income. Call now for free, no-obligation information to help you get started on your way to steady, predictable retirement income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Let's transform that risk into income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies, powered by the Retirement Income Store.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is backing the increased tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. Shortly after the increase went into effect, the president tweeted that tariffs will bring far more wealth into our country than even a phenomenal deal of a traditional kind would. Meanwhile, Vice President Mike Pence tells Fox News,
the China delegation is here again. The vice premier is here. President Trump said yesterday that he received another good letter from President Xi. He has a strong relationship. We believe a deal is possible, but what President Trump has made clear is we think we're in a very strong position either way.
The two suspects accused in the shooting at a STEM school in Colorado have had their hearings postponed. The postponement comes as investigators look into reports that a private security guard may have fired on a sheriff's deputy on the day of the shooting and could have possibly hit him. And Uber launched its initial IPO on Friday at $42 a share. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rockland. Today, we are speaking with Rob Long. He is the editor of Bigly, Donald Trump in Verse. Yes, the poetic fashionings of our commander-in-chief. Rob Long, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I want to give you just a brief example of what you have collected here in terms of the poetry of Donald Trump. So let me put on my best poetry reading voice and see if I can sally forth here. Whining and winning. I do whine because I want to win, and I'm not happy about not winning. And I am a whiner, and I keep whining and whining until I win. So that's a sampling of what you will be seeing in Bigly. When did you first notice the presidential penchant for poetry?
Well, you know, I think it was during the primaries, probably. He was giving a speech, and, you know, he kind of, like, the beginning of the speech and the end of the speech are pretty much planned, but in the middle it all goes kind of scrambled eggs. And he starts to, he starts to kind of free verse, and there's a little bit of rap in there, and it just kind of loses the format, which I think is when he's at his most free. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to it, I said, boy, you know, that sounds like, you know, a rap battle or a free mm-hmm. verse or a poetry slam or anything that, you know, these kids do. Mm-hmm. Or even just modern poetry. And so I took a speech, I forget which one, and I just arranged it on the page in poetic form. And my only rule was I could not add a word, subtract a word, or rearrange the word. So everything had to be just as he said it. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, there it was. It was poetry, and it kind of worked. And I kept doing it. And obviously, some speeches were more poetic than others. You know, the tweets were easy because that's basically a haiku already. You know, he kind of already had done that for me. But the rest of it, it just kind of came together. And I went all the way back. I mean, I went back into the late 80s or early 90s for some poems from interviews and TV appearances. And, you know, he's got a remarkably consistent voice for a poet, right? Mm-hmm. It's been 30 right. years. I mean, whether he knows it or not, he is the poet in chief.
Do you feel that he was influenced at all by the Sarah Palin stream of consciousness school?
Well, I think he was definitely influenced by, you know, he's a creature of the media. So I don't know whether he was influenced by it or he influenced it.
Interesting.
But if you're in the public eye for 30 years, 40 years, you develop a certain kind of freedom, I think. And that's what these poems really reflect, is this kind of his freedom. And, you know, look, you know, love him or hate him, you have to give him, he is a singular way of communicating. The guy really knows how to talk, and this is kind of how I see it, how I express it, just simply by saying that he's got a rhythm. He's got rhythm.
Hey, who could ask for anything more? We're speaking with Rob Long. He is the author of, or rather, the editor of Bigly, Donald Trump in Verse. Many great poets, Shakespeare, Poe among them, have invented their own words, and certainly the title of this edition counts. Do you think that Bigly is Trump's greatest creation, verbally speaking?
Well, look, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Great poets make up words, but they make up words that instantly make sense. They make up words where you think to yourself, boy, that's an expressive word. He couldn't possibly have made it up. We needed it. And, you know, there's a grand tradition of Anglo-Saxon words being sort of shoved out of the English language by Latinate words, you know. And and Trump is a very, very strict Anglo-Saxon kind of guy.
Yes.
Not many words. He didn't have that many. But bigly, I mean, some people say he said big league.
Right.
And I think in some recordings, I think I'm pretty sure he is saying big league. But he's also, I think, in a few saying bigly. And bigly, I don't know, it has a snap to it. I mean, it, you know, we could have said large or big or largely, I guess. But the English language,
right,
especially in the hands of a master like Trump, is saying something in a slightly different way to kind of get you to sit up straight.
It's interesting, and I hear what you're saying. You're right. It's a very Germanic, Anglo-Saxon composition in terms of how you would approach
right.
A word formation. Do you think that the commander-in-chief will advocate building a linguistic wall around those Anglo-Saxon words in order to keep the Latin derivatives out?
Oh, well, you know, it's way too late for that. But I also feel like, as like any great poet, he wants to have as many, you know, arrows in his quiver as possible. So, you know, a great poet won't give up any words. You want to keep adding words. I mean, it's certainly not exactly in sync with his immigration policy, but the English language is something that actually has vastly improved by immigration.
We're speaking with Rob Long, the editor of Bigly, Donald Trump in Verse. What do you think of a lot of these repeated, recurring phrases or lines that seem to me, at least, to be derived from his upbringing in New York City? You know, believe me, I can tell you, that sort of thing. How does that fit into his poetic scheme?
Well, look, I mean, you know, poets have those little tropes they reach to. Eliot did, and Shakespeare, you mentioned Shakespeare did. I mean, Homer did, you know, rosy fingers of
rosy
dawn,
fingered
and
dawn,
wine,
the
dark sea.
And darkness covered his eyes, and
Yeah, like all those things. And it's sort of natural. I don't think Donald Trump is a student of poetry, but I think he kind of intuitively knows that. I mean, Snoop Dogg does the same thing, and so does Kanye West. So, when your words are your business, you tend to use them in the most efficient, but also in the most impactful way. And that, I think, is big for him. I mean, he really does have a knack for saying something in an arresting way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that's why he's in the White House. That's why he has so many followers. That's also why he has so many detractors. I mean, you know, you can't have one without the other. And when I was put together the book, what I was hoping to do is, like, hoping to come up with a book that was fun and light and funny enough that if you were, a never-Trumper and you don't like the guy at all, that you could laugh at it. But if you were wearing a MAGA hat and you love the guy, you could laugh at it and enjoy it. Because the truth is that, all we do these days, if you watch cable news, is yell and scream at each other.
Uh-huh.
It'd be nice to take a little break from that. And I promise, after you take the break, you can go right back to it if it's so important. You
know? No, I think you've developed something here which can be appreciated by both sides. You know, we've heard recently that Twitter is going to be doubling their number of characters, and obviously, the President of the United States works largely in Twitter as far as his poetry. Perhaps it's a sort of limiting haiku-like structure. But I wonder, do you think that will kind of hinder his verse style or cause it to flower even further?
You know, I don't know. I'm nervous. I think that all of those restrictions and all of those rules make you better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Donald Trump needs another 140 characters. I think he's got the 140 he's got have been worked pretty well for him. Were I he, I would refuse to do it. I would just stay with what I can do. You know, you never really, look, you know, the guy's 70 years old. He's not, the way he communicates is the way he communicates. He's not really going to learn anything new.
Yeah.
And he's mastered 140 characters. Were I his advisors, I'd say stick with that. I'm sure, I mean, if the White House is being run the way I think it's being run, they're probably having top-level meetings about it right now.
We've been speaking with Rob Long. He is the editor of Bigly, Donald Trump in Verse. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Billions and billions and
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 billions and billions and billions and
billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and
billions. For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Wouldn't it be great to see your windows in a whole new light? Do it right. Call your local neighborhood experts. Budget Blinds. You'll get beautiful style and personalized service for every budget. We bring the showroom right to your home, so you can choose from hundreds of blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes. Plus smart home window coverings you control with the touch of a button. And with Budget Blinds, we do it all for you. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. So let's get your home a whole lot of gorgeous. Get your free consultation right at home. Just go online to budgetblinds.com or call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free consultation right at home. Now that's beautiful. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only, ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rocklin. Today we're speaking with Jessica Bruder. She is the author of Nomadland, Surviving America in the 21st Century. Jessica, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the open road, it used to be something that Americans aspired to, getting out there, traveling across the country, traveling in an RV, maybe even living in one. It seemed to be a promise of freedom. But your investigation that you conducted and written up in this book really seems to be the opposite. It seems to be what people are doing on the way down as opposed to doing on the way up.
Yeah, it's funny. Whenever I saw an RV, back before I started working on this book project, I assumed that the occupants were probably the last of the great pensioners, you know, enjoying their golden years on some secure savings and, you know, going to see everything from Old Faithful to Niagara Falls and just, you know, writing postcards along the way. And it just seemed like this really just charmed existence. And while those people, by all means, are still out there, they've been joined by a whole new group of folks who have really been battered around by the economy, particularly in a society where we still have, you know, $7.25 is our federal minimum wage and housing costs keep going up. And for a lot of people, that's put them in a pretty untenable situation, for which going mobile has kind of been the valve that releases some of the pressure.
I certainly see people in my neck of the woods, and I live in southern Oregon, who use RVs or trailers as basically their in-law unit. I mean, this is their plan for a retirement or to help their parents. And I think it seems to me that's something born of economic necessity also. How have some of the people that you've talked to made the decision that, I can't afford a home anymore, and this is what I'm going to do instead?
Yeah, I mean, the stories are as unique as the people themselves, but for a lot of people, for a lot of people in general, 2008 was a wake-up call. But for people in particular who are on the brink of retirement and suddenly faced, without having time to make it up, losing their savings, possibly losing their 401ks, losing the equity in their homes that they plan to retire on, it was really a particularly dire blow. So I met people out on the road who had, again, lost all of those things, and some of them had pretty high-profile jobs during their main careers, and I also met people who'd been caught on the low-wage treadmill and had never been able to put away enough to retire. And, you know, meanwhile, we live in a culture where pensions have been replaced with 401ks. In the 80s, 401ks were cynically marketed as instruments of financial freedom, while really taking the risk off of the shoulders of the employer and moving it over to the worker. And I think that's been kind of a disaster. So we've got all these factors that have people getting out on the road from different economic strata.
We're speaking with Jessica Bruder. She is the author of Nomadland, Surviving America in the 21st Century. What is day-to-day life like for these folks? And is it actually less expensive than what the alternatives are?
I believe it can be less expensive. People envision that folks living this lifestyle are constantly in motion, and that's actually not true. Hmm. Often it's about getting to where you need to be and staying there for a while. Often they drive less than commuters in urban areas do. So for many people, there are thousands of employers who hire these folks over the country, from Amazon hiring them to do warehouse work, which can involve walking 15 miles on a concrete floor on a day, to Texas oil fields that hire them as gate guards, to the annual sugar beet harvest that hires them to work as ground crew, shoveling beets and doing some other pretty tough work on 12-hour shifts, to campgrounds and national parks all over the country. So that's where you'll find these people is doing these jobs. They are tough jobs. They typically do not pay very well. However, they are one small area of the workforce in which ageism does not seem to be a factor. They are taking all warm bodies and all comers. So a lot of people are working those jobs, and when they're not, they are going financially dormant the best they can. Sometimes they're on public lands where they can camp for free or cheap. Often I see people using solar panels to generate their own electricity because the cost of that technology has come down so incredibly within recent years and put it within reach of a very wide audience. So that's some of the stuff that they're up to.
You know, I hate to draw the parallel, but it kind of seems like you've created a latter-day version of the Grapes of Wrath here. I mean, there's basically a motorized itinerant a class that's burgeoning in America, and that it seems on the face of it that it can't be good.
I think it's pretty challenging, and one of the big differences between these folks who are out on the road now related to economic circumstances and people who were out in the aftermath of the Great Depression, in my mind, is the post-Depression folks always envisioned reintegrating with mainstream society. So everybody was just figured, you know, this is a temporary anomaly, things are going to get better, and I'll be back in. And meanwhile, today, I don't think people believe that the cavalry is going to come, that things are going to change, that what is starting to feel like a long emergency, you know, in everything from our economy to the climate to just the overarching situation of, you know, how we're going to make it in the world. I don't think people feel like we're going to return to the old quo. I think the idea that we might seems quite clear to them. So most of the people I met were really planning to do this for the long haul. And that was something that surprised me, but it makes sense now.
It's really incredible. Maybe it's more akin to Mad Max than it is to the grapes of wrath. Because, I mean, the grapes of meth. Like, what's the ultimate end here? I mean, how does somebody live out their life in a situation where at some point they're not going to be able to drive? And if we are as a society, and hopefully our leaders realizing that there is a growing group of people who are turning to this because there's no economic alternative, like, what are we going to end up with? A bunch of people driving around filling the roads and with fires in oil barrels to light the chiaroscuro. I mean, what's the end game here?
Oh, I wish I knew what the end game was, but I think the trend will continue to grow, and I also think the crackdown on it is going to keep growing. Right now, we have a widespread wave what people are worriedly referring to as the criminalization of homelessness. So in many cities and towns, there's just been a giant wave of new laws making it illegal for people to sleep in their cars, which in my mind is pretty heartless and also an indictment of our values as a society, and that we're saying, okay, here's this little blank patch of land. Your car is good enough to stay there, but not you in the car. I mean, in my mind, that says that we value property over people, and it's kind of a screwed up inversion of how we should be thinking. There's also been a crackdown in the national parks. I just got another email yesterday talking about how people who live full-time in their vehicles are being hustled off the land and sometimes not even given the rights that, you know, every person visiting this public land is entitled to in terms of staying there, which is upsetting to me. And at the same time, you know, places where these people gather, I started hanging out with them in 2013, and the numbers are just swelling. The numbers are absolutely swelling. And, you know, there's an interest in the whole tiny house movement and cheap minimalism, but people never talk about the fact that economic factors actually may be shaping even those factors. And I think there's a lot more of that going on than we realize, because everybody has to find a way to make this acceptable. If this is your daily existence, do you know what I mean? Find a way to integrate it with your life that allows you to get out of bed in the morning every day.
You're right, in to the extent that this is the only option. But ultimately, it would seem that this is an outcropping of a larger problem, which is that we don't have affordable housing in this country, and certainly in places like the San Francisco mm-hmm. Bay Area, where there are people working for enormous companies and often well-paid people who are in this situation that still can't afford basic housing, that's where the problem has to be addressed ultimately. Jessica Bruder, she is the author of Nomadland, Surviving America in the 21st Century. Thank you so much for talking with us about this, and thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for caring about these people and their stories.
Happy trail. Happy trail.
That's all the time we have today on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by yours truly, Beowulf Rocklin. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com. Follow us on Twitter @NowItsTheNews. And until next week, keep smiling through, just like you always do.
Happy trails.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-319-2629. That's 800-319-2629. 800-319-2629.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The House passes a $19 billion disaster relief bill that would provide relief to farmers, victims of hurricanes and floods, and also help rebuild southern military bases. But similar legislation has stalled in the Republican-controlled Senate as President Trump and Republicans object to the amount of money going to Puerto Rico. House Minority Whip Steve Scalise of Louisiana urges Democrats and the Majority Leader to hear the concerns of the Republicans.
I would hope that as the bill goes over to the Senate, the gentleman and your side would continue to work with our side, both House, Senate, Republican, Democrat, to achieve a bipartisan disaster relief bill that can ultimately get all of these problems addressed and get signed by the president.
China trade talks are over for the time being. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin told reporters today that constructive discussions have been held on ending a growing trade war. This is USA Radio News.
Get mom a great gift from Kohl's and get a little something for yourself. $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. Give her a Philosophy Amazing Grace bath gift set, just $55, and get $10 Kohl's cash. Or a Diamond Heart pendant, only $109.99, and you'll get $20 Kohl's cash. Plus, take $10 off your $50 or more Mother's Day gift purchase, Thursday through Sunday at Kohl's. Select styles, $10 offer valid May 1st through 12th with promo code MOMSDAY10. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Filling an opening at your company means more than just finding an employee. You're looking for a fit, a match. Robert Half understands that. We know you need someone who can do the work, someone who complements your culture. And, of course, you need that someone fast. When it all comes together, it makes for a perfect fit. Satisfaction guaranteed. Robert Half, the matching experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Visit roberthalf.com/radio for more information.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez introduced a plan on Thursday to rein in the profits from banks and what they can collect from consumers on credit card interest, and the interest rates would be capped at 15%. The Congresswoman then had an interesting idea on banking.
We can then say is, A, we should have a not-for-profit public option for basic banking services, and we should be piloting these projects.
Sure.
Through the U.S. Postal Service or in any other number of ways.
Just how successful is the USPS and its public option model for the mail? Well, it just came out on Wednesday that the Postal Service reported a financial loss for the 12th straight year. 6 cups of coffee a day is not okay. Researchers with the University of South Australia looked into how much caffeine it would take to be harmful to a person's health. They found that drinking the equivalent of 6 cups of coffee a day or more increases a person's health risk of heart disease by 22%. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Pharmaceutical companies will have to reveal the price of many prescription drugs in TV commercials under a new rule announced by the Trump administration this week. The requirement is part of the president's efforts to crack down on drug costs Republican Senator Martha McSally joins ABC 15 in Phoenix and says this is something that's near and dear to her constituents' heart.
Everywhere I go, I've been around all 15 counties in my first 90 days in Arizona just to listen to Arizonans. And top of mind for everyone is the cost of health care and health insurance, the cost of prescription drugs in particular. So we've got to shine a light on the real cost. We got to have more choice and competition, and people shouldn't have surprise bills. So let's have transparency and let people shop around. More competition for generic drugs. I mean, this is a real issue that's life-threatening for some people and obviously life-changing for those with chronic diseases. So I am all for more transparency and more choice for Arizonans so that they can afford the health care for their loved ones.
To survive.
Yes.
It's the end of National Small Business Week, and USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
A study from Salesforce designed to coincide with National Small Business Week finds a generational trend when it comes to small businesses in America these days. Younger people seem more interested than older ones in starting small businesses. The study also finding that small business persons using more and more technology but still have trouble finding workers and time to get the work done.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Good afternoon. This is Larry McAtee, and this is Home Team. Today we're going to talk about